I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Coming to you live from Alola's Battle Royale Dome, it's the one, the only Puckle Battlecast.
And welcome to the next edition of Puckle's Battlecast. I am your host, Trainer Thatch, here today with my wonderful set of co-hosts.
Shamu.
Sublime.
And Ryusei.
And they are 100% awesome and raring to go. 100%. 100%.
Take that, Bo.
Exactly. Okay. So we're going to go. It's just bad because now I know. He shouldn't have told me. So we're here to bring you another edition of Puckle's Battlecast. This week we're going to be talking, or this month I guess, we're going to be talking about VGC. We're going to be talking more VGC here in the coming months as well, due to the internet or the Worlds going on next month. So post Worlds, look out for another Battlecast. And yeah, so that's going to be going on. But we had internationals happen at the beginning of this month, as well as PuckleCon, which I'm sure was a meta-defining moment. You guys need to laugh at my soft PuckleCon jokes.
Hey, it was a meta-defining moment. Just for very, very brief.
Yeah, just a very brief meta-defining moment there, guys. So don't worry about it too much, but it was there. Let's see then. Moving on, we're going to be going to... let's jump into internationals. Internationals happened. I believe the winner was actually an Australian. Christopher Khan. He was a TCG player. I didn't even know that.
He's a former Worlds-winning TCG player, actually.
Really? That's hilarious. And he's running like the most standard VGC thing I've ever seen.
I don't know.
I disagree with that.
I feel like outside of Gyarados, it seems pretty standard.
The Gyarados was outside of standard, but also his P2.
I didn't even look. What was different about his P2?
He ran Return.
Yeah.
And also,
I feel like we've talked about this.
Pretty standard. I feel
Talked about this, didn't we? Like, I don't know if we did it on the show or if we did it one on one, but we definitely talked about running Return on Porygon as an option.
It's not a standard thing.
Standard's definitely like Thunderbolt or something, which works really well with Tapu Koko. But right. I don't know. I feel like that's enough of a surprise if you don't know what's going on. I mean, when you get to Top Cut, of course, the world is different. But it's,
exactly.
But I mean, it seems pretty standard. I mean, Snorlax seems like he's pretty standard. I mean, it's Facade, which is a little bit different.
Right.
But I like that because does that override the burn?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense then. Like 100%. I would run. I just said it again.
100%, 100%.
Yeah, well, it's funny because, like, that Snorlax and the hidden power on his Koko, which is fire.
Yeah, the hidden. There's the combination. He seems to have just been like, okay, here are all of the things that could bother me.
And right. But the thing is, though, those combinations weren't as common until after the internets.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, this was definitely meta-defining. We can talk because I mean there's another player that came up, not anybody. I saw a lot of usage out of two particular Pokemon, not on this particular team. This team, the winning team, we should state before we move on too much. It was Porygon 2 with the return, Tapu Koko with Electrium Z, which is really cool. I'm a big fan of that. Then we had Gyarados, which was pretty standard, with except with Bounce, with Flyniumz. Yeah,
and Flyniumz.
Yeah, I like that a lot. Arcanine. Yeah, Arcanine, which sounds pretty reasonable. And then the there was Garchomp and Snorlax. So both of those, the Garchomp seems to be like, I'm going to hit you hard, Garchomp. So
it's a Salt Vest Chomp.
Yeah, it's a Salt Vest.
It's a Salt Vest Chomp. It's more for staying around. I think he probably made it bulkier, and then because he had to sacrifice the speed for the bulk so that he can survive probably Ninetales stuff, that's why he chose Adamant, probably, at least in my perspective.
So two Pokemon I personally was surprised to see. I know you guys are a bit more into the meta than I am, but two of the things I was very surprised to see at this international do so well was one Alolan Ninetales. I thought that was surprising, because to me that's always been like a very big singles player, but I can understand the ability of like dual screen being fantastic. And the other one that we were talking about before the show briefly was Metagross. Which honestly I 100%, gosh dang it, oh man, Bo's gonna get drunk. I was really surprised to see Metagross come in, but I can understand its usability. I can definitely
Metagross
understand its usability.
Pretty good at the beginning of the format too.
Yeah,
and then
briefly.
It disappeared, and it's just coming back quite a bit now.
Well, I think like Metagross is really good against what's called a fake PG, which is
like chalk of the year.
In a sense, yeah. Somewhat.
It's not as prevalent, but it's definitely like the archetype if you don't know what to run.
Correct. And it does really well against that. So a lot of people were bringing that in at the smaller tournaments leading up to the Nationals. Like, I remember going to an event in Long Island. And there was, who was Chupacross, I think, was there. It's a couple other big names, and some people from Korea, actually, who flew in.
It sounds right, because it sounds like the New York region.
Yes, exactly.
Right. That's where like, all of the good players are, for the most part. Right. Like,
so, it was just a PC, but, you know, it was some big names, everybody was getting ready, and there's at least three or four players there that ran Salamence Metagross with Salamence having Bulldoze. So I thought that was going to be a lot more.
That's really
interesting. With weakness policy.
Yes, exactly. Mm. So I thought that was going to be a little bit more popular in the Nats, but it didn't. And the only reason why Metagross, I feel, was even popularized, besides the fake PG, was this, like, band core, I guess, Bulu, Arcanine, Nihiligo, that did well, I think, in Japan. So that's kind of setting up into Nats, why people.
That's really interesting. That's really interesting. I don't know. I don't go to as many events right now. I want to. I'm planning on trying. I've said this last year. I'm planning to go to more events this upcoming year, because they just announced the regionals today, which is really exciting. That's really exciting. We can diverge on that in a little bit, but I want to talk more about Nationals. Like, Metagross is just coming in. It handles like all of the toppies really well. And I think they run Choice Band, and I think I saw an Assault Vest one at one point, but I could be wrong.
But yeah, Choice Band, Weakness Policy is the two most common.
Yeah, because you can run Meteor Mash, which is going to hit a lot of things, Zen Headbutt, which hits a lot of things, and that also takes advantage of Psychic Terrain with Lele on top of that, which is one of the things it's trying to counter, so it just makes sense.
Yeah, and usually it's paired with Lele.
Yeah, you could pair it with Lele. He gets access to Thunder Punch, too. It would be interesting to see him run with Coco. My OU knowledge is walking in.
That's okay.
And so, yeah, he does get it, though, with Move Tutors, which we'll hopefully see in Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon.
But real quick, back to the how you're planning on going to more events.
Yeah.
If you can't travel, remember, Fridays.
Yeah, that's true.
PCs.
That's true. No, I'm planning on going to more events. I think specifically the plan right now is to go to lead up to going to the one in St. Louis. just okay. because there's a bunch of people that we know from Missouri. So
that's cool.
So we can meet up with a bunch of the Puckalonians there, and it'll be a lot of fun. And I don't know if I'll play TCG or VGC. I've been getting way into the TCG recently, which is kind of breaking in on my VGC time. And I gotta sit down and make a decision. But I have a lot of fun with video game, and it's watching those video game matches during the internationals was insane because I've been out of the meta for so long. Recently, I left for like 2 months, and then it's just changed so much.
Oh yeah,
it's significantly shift.
Yeah, it's shifting right now as we speak. Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
This one moves a lot more than the one did in 2016.
Yeah, usually the smaller dexes will do mm-hmm. that. Because even in X and Y, where Mega Kang was everywhere, it still shifted quite a bit because the mons are more, they're smaller selections, so the Nintendo company, believe it or not, they do R&D, and they try to make it more balanced.
I believe it.
More things are viable.
I believe it. So that it's really, oh my gosh, I didn't even notice Market Shotter was running Porygon Z. Oh man, this is nuts. There's
been a lot of Porygon Z lately.
Yeah, we were talking about that not too long ago. Just match it up with a fake out user and just Z yep. Hyper Beam. Is that what he was running?
Actually, he running? I don't Hariyama. Know. Let me see.
Hariyama had fake out there.
So yeah,
no, he was not running that. He's running Thunderbolt Conversion. Ice
he was running Z Conversion. He was running Z Conversion then.
But actually, let's look at that team for a second. This is the band core that mm-hmm. I was talking about.
Yeah.
The Nihiligo, Bulu.
Wait, Arcanine. What are you calling it? Ban?
Ban.
Because they all run choice ban. Oh, because you run a choice ban on one of them.
No. It's just because it's Bulu, Arcanine, Nihiligo.
Yeah, ban. Ban. B-A-N. Okay. I was hearing banned, and I'm like, none of these people are running a choice.
I've been seeing a lot of choice banned Arcanine, actually.
That has been a thing.
Like, a lot of people are trying to do more hyper-offensive. Again, that's generally how formats go, but it just seems like this format, this deck can handle hyper-offensive, so it's going to mm-hmm. go in and out.
Yeah, it honestly can't. It can handle it, it seems like it, just from the way, I don't know, some of the mons that are in it particularly are just so bulky. They can hit things. They can take things, like especially Porygon 2, just being in the format that without anything that's I can't name one like really good fighting type actually in this format that can handle it.
No,
I think that's the big problem. Once we open it up to like the full decks, the national decks, we could, if that does happen. I should say if, because I don't know what they're gonna do. It's Pokemon. And exactly. If we could open it up to something like not Infernape, but something like, I don't know, Buzzwole's a good try. So would be Faramosa, but at the same time, those are both really frail. But something like Conk would be really good. I feel.
Yeah, honestly, from what I remember, most of the good fighting types, quote unquote, were all move tutor like superpower, like Landorus with mm-hmm. superpower, and just the random like Scizor had superpower, which was really good. It wasn't that they were stab fighting, it's just that they were like base 130, base 145 coming at you with a base 120 attack.
Well, Bulu gets it. I think Bulu gets superpower.
Yeah, Bulu does get it. And Bulu is a good user.
I'd like to see some FighteMZ Bulu. That'd be pretty cool. But that's really specific as well, cuz that only hits like specific Pokemon.
See FighteMZ Kartana.
Yeah, you do see that with the Sacred Sword, yeah.
Yeah,
I believe that.
That is getting a lot more popular. Like the AFK core is actually down in usage a lot.
Mm-hmm. AFK for people listening is Arcanine, Kartana, and Feeny. Yeah.
Yep. And it is because of the BAN core, which usually has Hariyama in it,
mm-hmm.
which did top at this international. So that says a lot.
It did top cut. It was in just the team we were just talking about. I was really actually surprised to see Sean Bannon's team with the rain. I'm not gonna lie, because rain just seems like one of those things you know is coming.
Well, and see, Rain hits super hard.
It does. It does hit super hard.
And if you... So, the cool thing about using something that everybody knows how it works is using it in a different way. Mm-hmm. And I think, if I remember correctly, he's used Rain since almost day one.
I believe so.
Yeah. So he has done well with it. He knows how to use it. He knows what players have played him before, and he knows how to maybe not lead with Rain, maybe just lead with Golduck, switch in Pelipper, do some really crazy shenanigans instead of just the norm, which sometimes running standard abnormally and playing it abnormally will throw
Well, I think really big is I before this, I had never seen the Encore on the Golduck.
Maybe that's a new addition, yeah.
I think that's interesting, just because you're going so fast anyway. You can Encore somebody into Protect really hard. And especially if you're in the best of three, or you're in the format, in the Swiss format, people don't get that information.
Right.
And who's going to expect the fourth move on that Golduck to be Encore? I would expect Ice Beam or something, you know, Hydro Pump Scald Ice Beam Protect.
Right.
But you're not going to expect Hydro Pump Scald Encore. Right. Water EMZ from Golduck is still nasty. That's in the rain.
Still hurts so
in
hard.
The rain. That's just awful.
Yeah, it is.
And he was running Lele on top of that to stop priority, so Golduck could still go first. He's running standard Pelipper, super standard Pelipper.
And then he's running Fire Weak, he's running Kartana and Metagross, which...
Well, he can get away with that with the rain.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was about to say. Normally, you try not to have more than, like, one, maybe two Fire Weak, because everybody's running Arcanine.
I think that's one of the reasons Rain did so well, is everybody was running Arcanine up to this. Like they still are running it. Arcanine's good, but I mean, everybody's running Arcanine, 75% usage or something like that in top
it
cuts.
Was the second most used Pokemon at the event after Tapu Koko.
Yeah,
right.
So it makes sense.
And then that Kartana, it's funny, I just pulled up the team roster. Mm-hmm. And that Kartana has a Vacuum Wave for the mirror.
That's so weird, but that's actually not bad. That's not bad.
It's for the mirror. Kartana.
They're reading the roar on Coco.
I'm
like, that's the one thing I'm seeing. I'm like,
to roar,
shut down Trick Room.
Yeah. Yes.
It's for the hard Trick Room Mimikyu. Like, Taunt isn't good anymore because Mimikyu, if they really wanted to, can run Mental Herb.
Mm-hmm.
And a Mental Herb.
Okay.
Yeah, a Mental Herb to Mimikyu is really hard to stop unless you roar it out.
Like, obviously I know what Roar does. This is like, I just don't know, like, why is Roar in VGC? That's like that, but... Yep.
Also, too, with all the Snorlax running around, like, Snorlax is prevalent. It's always been prevalent.
Yeah, and that one actually, like, this year's way different, in my opinion, than a lot of previous years, because you don't see, beforehand, you never saw a lot of setup.
Correct.
And because this meta is so slow now, the Pokemon, it's all set up. Like, you either see Belly Drum or Curse on Snorlax, and that's honestly not a bad play, just to roar it out and get rid of that setup.
Calm Mind.
Is anything running Haze? That's my question.
Oh, lots.
Yeah,
lots
that would make
haze.
Sense.
Like mainly it's Feeny that runs the Haze, but there's a lot of Pokemon.
Is Gastrodon in this? Yeah, so it gets. Yeah. I believe it gets Haze.
No, I don't know about that.
I think it gets Haze.
I know Muk sometimes Haze, and I think something else. I'm not sure, but I swear
Gastrodon gets Haze.
I want to agree because the water ground, but at the same time, I don't remember ever seeing Haze on it. It gets missed.
Yeah, it doesn't get Haze. You're right. Right. I thought it did. I'm a dummy.
At least you can use the Haze.
You know what does learn Haze? Was at PuckleCon.
Mm-hmm.
Is Murkrow.
Murkrow's been around for a while.
In best of one tournaments.
Yeah, this wasn't best of one. This is best of three still, right? Yeah.
Yeah, this is best.
It was just like one of the people who brought it. Like someone brought it on their team, and it had Haze.
Oh yeah, it does get Haze.
Yeah.
That's not terrible. I mean, it just gets Prankster, which is kind of nice.
No.
The problem with the Prankster is there could be other dark... Well, I guess there aren't a lot of dark types in the meta.
No, it's... So, the thing is, Haze doesn't target.
Yeah.
So I'm sure it'll still affect dark Pokemon.
Oh, even with the Prankster?
Spread.
Okay.
I'm pretty, I haven't tested it out, but I'm pretty sure.
No, I don't think it would affect our... I think it would just still go through, because you're not really targeting. It's like... It's actually almost kind of like using, like, a... Like, prankster D-dance or something, or a setup move. It's not really affecting them. It's just kind of, like, happening.
Affecting the whole field, yeah.
Yeah. D-dance is an example.
Yeah, but, also, speaking of Haze, did anybody catch the freaking wonderful, awesome Dragonite?
Yes.
By, what's his face? I forgot his name.
What's his face?
I'm
That's
bad.
What we'll call him.
No. He is so good. He's actually good buddies with one of our Pokalonians, Big Slim.
Okay.
I forgot his name, but I respect his play and I respect his EV team. And that Dragonite was a monster. I was there live watching it, and like the crowd was going wild.
Did he
like,
top cut? I don't think so.
He made day two.
No,
he did not top cut.
I'm looking at the top cut and I can't find a Dragonite.
Yeah, there's no Dragonite.
But there was a Murkrow.
There was a Murkrow. what did Murkrow place? I'm just super curious now.
Let's see. It's probably towards the bottom.
I don't see Murkrow.
Murkrow did 21st make it.
First place, Gary Kwan used Murkrow.
Ooh.
Oh, okay.
He also used
it with Flygon.
He used Flygon.
He used Flygon.
I remember seeing the Flygon on stream. It was pretty cool.
Flygon's awesome. That's, you know, kudos to him.
Yeah, Flygon, actually, that's the problem with some of these faster sweeping mons, like Nihiligo, for example, and Flygon. Nihiligo has barely not enough power to, like, Oko, you know, say Garchomps. And same thing with, whatchamacallit, okay. Flygon, with... Like, say if you scarf it and then you go earth power so that you're not locked into, like, earthquake, it's like an 80% chance or 70% chance to Oko non-bulky Kokos and, like, Arcanine. So, like, most of the time or a good chunk of the time, you're going to be missing those KOs. But, like, that's why you're not getting a lot of – that's why it's not a fast-paced meta. Just because the mons are strong, but they're just barely not strong enough to.
This is like the theme of Pokemon right now. Like, no joke. Like, everything. Even the TCG slowing down.
Yes.
It's nutsos.
Yes.
I like it. It's a nice change of pace from what we had before.
It is.
VGC matches would last four turns.
Yeah,
and like that was last time it was lasting four turns. This is definitely more interesting to see a lot of Pokemon rotate in and out too, other than like Coco and Arcanine. I feel like those two have been very staple from the beginning.
And
Porygon too, to some extent. I mean, it's there if you want a Trick Room. Like, if you want a Trick Room, you run that. Ninetales placed a lot, actually. Wow, I didn't realize how many Ninetales there were. There were four Ninetales in top cut. Wow.
Yep. That's actually the new team now, the new quote-unquote Big Six, Chalk, whatever.
This doesn't even exist in this format.
No, but it's Ninetales, Chomp, Arcanine, Coco, Celesteela, Snorlax.
Yeah.
That's Paul Chua's team. Now, his team was pretty cool. I think he ran the Electrium Z on his Coco.
I believe
he ran
right.
Thunder. For the counter to rain, which was interesting. That was nice. He was expecting to see rain.
He was running Electrium Z. My bad. I was looking at the wrong position. My bad. Yep. Continue.
So he ran Ninetales, and Wolfglick also ran, I think, the same six.
Didn't Wolfglick, like, do really poorly, though?
Yeah, he did. Yeah. But he's a strong player, and he's running the same six. A lot of players ran the same six. But they had different versions, different variants.
Yeah.
So, like, Paul Chua here, I really liked on his Ninetales. His Ninetales was basically all about Aurora Veil and get out of there, pretty much. He had Roar on it, he had Freeze Dry for a little bit of coverage, and he had Blizzard because Blizzard.
Because it's Ninetales.
Right. So he had Sash on his, which is interesting. So he didn't want to go for the longevity. Like... So, just a comparison, I think Wolf had Light Clay on his and no Roar with Protect, while I think I mean, I could be wrong, but and I think Paul Chua, who got second place, had Roar instead of Protect and had Stash.
Yeah, so, I mean, you're not going to protect a lot with it anyway. It's Ninetales. I think correct. I honestly think the way that Paul Chua ran it is probably the best way. One, it provides you weather disruption, yep. which I think is worth saving Ninetales for in general. Like, if you're up against something with a Pelipper or a Gigalith, or yep. I guess even Torkoal, but... I pray to God that Torkoal's usage just dropped. I think it did. And
nah, it's like Torkoal's never been
it's never been good, but it's never been bad.
Yeah, it's like Mandibuzz tier where
it's just one of those things you know is gonna be there. Yeah, it's just, yep. you know it's gonna be there.
And, you know it's gonna be there, you gotta handle it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. So then his chomp was Scarfed, which now that's the new meta. So most of the chomps that you're going to see now and mm-hmm. probably at Worlds as well are going to be Scarfed, and they're going to be paired with a flying type, which most of the time is going to be Celesteela.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
He ran the
standard Coco. Well, he ran Thunder on Coco, which I thought was really interesting. For Electrium Z.
His Coco was definitely meant to counter rain, which he probably thought was going to be there, not in force, but in quality. So mm-hmm. he probably figured a rain team will top, but you know I don't think he was figuring on many rain teams. The thing is, he's got on his Arcanine, so Arcanine has stabilized, finally. Mm-hmm. And pretty much every Arcanine is going to have Flare Blitz, Extreme Speed, Protect. Its fourth move is your tech move, which is cool.
You should definitely just put Snarl on. Snarl's the best.
Not necessarily. There is argument. So Snarl got second place with Paul Chula.
Yeah.
Toxic got first place with Christopher.
Yes, I've seen a lot of Toxic on Arcanine.
Yes, Toxic has been getting a lot more popular because since the meta is slower and set up, that's mm-hmm. a way to counter setup mods. And as you see in both of the top two winning teams, there's Snorlax carried Facade. Or Facade. Mm-hmm. Facade.
Facade. It's Facade.
It's Facade.
Facade.
The F move. So a lot of the times people will either burn or toxic the Snorlaxes because Snorlax is meant to just stay there mm-hmm. and, you know, bury up and eventually wither down your opponent's team. Well, with Toxic / Burn, that used to be a way to counter Snorlax. But that's why they ran the Facade.
Facade, yeah.
What I find interesting is the Wide Guard on Celesteela rather than the Flamethrower.
Ooh.
That's
interesting.
Yeah,
I would rather run Flamethrower personally. I don't know, I'd have to watch his matches.
Yeah. I'm thinking for enemy Garchomps with Rock Slides and Gigaliths, he might have been worried about. I'm thinking that's why he liked the Wide Guard.
Mm-hmm.
Because Flint sucks. And also Blizzards from other Ninetales, because I think him and a lot of the guys who use the same six mons worked loosely together, so he kind of knew that Ninetales was going to be around.
Yeah.
But, the Wide Guard is a very interesting selection over the Flamethrower, especially seeing the team comp is kind of weak to Cartana. Like, Ninetales is weak to Cartana, Snorlax is weak to Cartana. Mm-hmm. Without Flamethrower, Celesteela doesn't do too much to Cartana.
Yeah, that's weird. That's really interesting, actually. I mean, Cartana must not have been, like, a huge problem for him. Well, he had Arcanine.
Well, yeah, he had
Arcanine. And Garchomp. Yeah, and Garchomp, so.
I don't know. It's a toss-up. Like, Garchomp doesn't necessarily have advantage, but with Fire Fang, it does.
Yeah, he's running Fire Fang, so.
And Scarf, so.
Yeah, so it outspeeds.
Yep.
That's interesting. This is really interesting. I'm really excited to see Worlds and see what's going to happen. Just because it probably was the same way like you said in 2014, but this has just been such a nice change of pace from the past 2 years, because To be fair, I was really happy with 2017 because at least like the world championships came down to like a newish team style.
Right.
But 2015 was just awful because it was just like, yeah, we're all just playing chalk and chalk wins. Oh, who would have thought?
And it was funny because chalk really wasn't too much of a thing until like right before Worlds.
Yeah, I know.
But then afterward, everybody's like, oh, yep, no, this is it.
this is definitely
all
it.
All of the teams outside of the top cut at Worlds that bubbled were actually a lot more diverse, too.
Yeah, I know.
Yep.
It was awful, though. Like, everybody, like, literally it was 5 Mons on every single team that were exactly the same in the top 8. Yeah. It was gross. But I think this year's going to be way different. I mean, right now we have a huge variety in team composition in the top 8 right now. Which is absurd. Like, Alolan Persian made it.
Like, I will say, you would love this, actually. Togedemaru, I really do feel it's going to show up at once.
I don't think it's going to show up. If it shows up, I'll give you a dollar.
It's in a good position.
If it shows up, I'll give you a dollar, but I don't think it's going to show up.
I'm pretty sure. It's in a good position. Believe it or not. It really is.
It does bode well with Lightning Rod and Coco being around, but...
I think the team, if somebody does make it who's going to Worlds, the team that a lot of people are sleeping on or just don't know it yet is Gyarados, Lightning Rod user, Metagross.
Hmm.
I think that's going to be a core that's going to wreck at Worlds. If someone does use it. I think
well,
that's
speaking
gonna
be- of that,
it's
well-
so funny because that was also at PuckleCon. So it was a meta-defining moment.
So we'll take a short break here. We'll come back and we'll talk about that more because we'll talk about what the team coming
no
up.
No problem.
And so we'll take a short break, guys, and we'll come right back at you with another team from that we think is gonna be something that you might see at Worlds. So we'll see if our prediction's right. So catch us on the flip flop.
Come take a vacation to one of the most peaceful places in the Pokemon world.
Oh my god! There's 60 Gyarados or more! Ah!
The Lake of Rage. You can sit by the peaceful water and watch the Magikarp as they swim by.
Get down! Hyper Beam!
Go play in the water and swim around a little bit.
It's got my puppy!
Come take a trip to the Lake of Rage, brought to you by Altaria Travel Agency, where the clouds are the limit.
And we're back with your team of the episode. So we have a few things. So first, so the team, I'm going to do a quick rundown. This is something that we think the archetype might show up at Worlds, though there is a Bulu there, so we'll see. So we have Metagross, I assume Alolan Marowak. It did not come up as Alolan when I imported them to Showdown, so I got super confused. it came up as a regular Marowak. Gyarados, Tapu Bulu, Garchomp, and Snorlax. So we'll just start breaking it down. So Metagross, if we're running Weakness Policy, Zen Headbutt, Protect, Meteor Mash, Hammer Arm. That seems like a pretty standard Metagross. Now, I do notice you have 188 HP and 68 defense. What and adamant. What's the benchmark?
This is my personal set, and I could survive with like 90 or 80% of the time survive a Flare Blitz from an adamant max attack Arcanine.
Okay, that's all that matters.
With this bulk.
That's all that matters. that's going to be the thing that you're going to have to worry about anyway. With Weakness Policy too, that's just going to be nasty.
Yeah.
So that's good. Okay. Well, that seems like pretty standard Metagross. Well, that was Metagross, guys.
Yeah.
We talked about Metagross forever.
But yeah, usually like, so with the Weakness Policy, I've seen a lot of people run Bullet Punch over Protect. Mm-hmm. And also the more common move is actually Earthquake.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of Earthquake
matchups.
Mm-hmm.
Because with Intimidate and just max HP, you can survive a Flare Blitz pretty easily.
Well, you got Alolan Marowak to take that with Bone Meringue. like we just spoken about. Like Alolan Marowak can handle. I mean, you also have Gyarados and you have Garchomp as well. So I think yeah. I think this is the situation in which you can live without Earthquake.
That's why I'm saying Metagross Gyarados Lightning Rod user is going to be very prominent. And if someone runs that combination, mm-hmm. I really think it's going to do well at Worlds.
Also, Clear Body's amazing to have as well with the Intimidates.
So like, amazing.
It's so nice.
Bulldoze, speed control.
Bulldoze? Do you have Bulldoze or anything or no?
No, I don't.
Not on this particular team?
Yeah, not this particular one. But usually they run it with a Salamence or mm-hmm. a Arcanine. And they put Bulldoze, and obviously Bulldoze lowers the speed of everybody on the field that it mm-hmm. hits. But since Metagross has Clear Body, it doesn't lower its stat.
That's wonderful. Yeah, so then the next one is Marowak, like we were talking about. With Thick Club, obviously, because if you don't run it, it's stupid. And yeah. unless you're like pre-bank meta OU, and you're just like, I'm going to run specially defensive Marowak. But Flare Blitz, why detect over protect?
So Imprisoned Muck. Not even Imprisoned Muck specifically, just Imprisoned.
Yeah. If you can mm-hmm. learn Detect, you use Detect over Protect in case you ever encounter Imprisoned.
Okay, correct. That makes sense. And then you get Bone Meringue and Shadow Bone. These all seem very, very standard.
Yeah, this is an actual standard Marowak copy-pasted right from Trainer Tower.
Yeah, 252 HP, 172 attack, 4 defense, 68 special defense, 12 speed, adamant.
Survive Psychic in Psychic Terrain from Alele and mm-hmm. kills everything.
it knocks a lot of things out, so that's all that matters. Yep. The next member is Gyarados, which has been seeing some play, I've noticed. Not a lot, but some. And honestly, Shamu, we have to build that Gyarados team.
I forgot about that.
And so this one's not necessarily the standard. This one is a Jolly instead of an Adamant. This after one Dragon Dance will outspeed Coco.
That's important.
Generally, Gyaradoses don't tend to do that. Mm-hmm. They tend to have Adamant because with one Intimidate, they can still knock out Arcanines. With this one, though, the advantages are you get a Dragon Dance up, you're no longer afraid of Coco because you can Water mm-hmm. MZ and knock out Coco from full health if you're at neutral. Yes. And if you're at plus one, I think you can kill it. I'm not 100% sure. But and then also, generally, without a Dragon Dance, you can outspeed a lot of Arcanines. And at neutral, definitely one shot. And at not neutral, you come close. So if you can do any little bit of chip damage, that's a really good counter to Arcanine.
Mm-hmm.
And also survives Wild Charge when Arcanine is intimidated.
Really? That's impressive.
Yep.
Wow. That's really... And that's 52 HP, 214 attack. It should be 212, but it's showdown. 76 defense, 4 special defense, and 164 speed.
Yep.
But, wow, fantastic. That is good. I'm a fan. And then Tapu Bulu. We were just talking about how Tapu Bulu probably peaked. It fits really well on this team because it fits on the core. You get a fire, water, grass core, which is really nice. And I can see that working.
Yeah, honestly, the Bulu on this team isn't, I don't know, it's, I personally run this core. Mm-hmm. I personally was thinking about switching Marowak for Togan tomorrow. No, for real, because 96 base speed, which outspeeds Arcanine and Lele by 1 point, has access to Encore. Spiky Shield is pretty nice to get a little bit of chip damage once in a while if you can predict correctly. And just having a nice fake out pressure is awesome.
It does get fake out, that's true. It does get fake out.
It definitely, with all the setup Pokemon, I feel either having Roar or Encore is going to be very, very good moving forward, mm-hmm. especially for the first half of 2018.
Interesting. I could see that working. I could see it happening. So then you have Gyarados, or so we're Tapu Bulu, Grassy Surge because you have to run a Tapu because Tapus are fun.
Yeah. I mean, Tapu Koko is probably better. Even Lele for the extra hard hitting damage.
I don't know. I like Bulu in that slot a lot, actually. I'm a fan.
Because of the it helps with your Garchomp matchup.
Mm-hmm.
Because you are kind of ground weak. So with Metagross and Marowak, and Bulu does help with the mitigating the earthquakes, especially with all the Scarf Chomps running around.
Mm-hmm. And then let's see. This one's Protect, Horn Leech, Wood Hammer, Super Power, and this is 252 HP, 252 attack, just because you want to hit hard. And exactly. Figgy Berry is the one that procs at not half that's health, quarter berry. Half. Yeah, it's the pinch berry.
Yeah.
Quarter, yep.
The berries are actually defining for Pokemon from now until they correct their mistake.
That is good. Let's see. And then, so Garchomp is next because Garchomp with Ground DMZ. Because
well,
Garchomp.
The more common Garchomp is probably going to be Adamant with
Choice
Scarf.
Yeah.
And I have the Fire Fang, Poison Jab, Earthquake, and Rock Slide. So you're going to see a lot of people trying to fish for the Rock Slide flinches and yada, yada, yada. That's going to be the more common, but the second most common is going to be Ground DMZ.
Ground DMZ. Okay, yeah, I can imagine, because that one's been popular. That one has been popular.
It's most consistent.
Yeah, it's been there since the beginning. You have we keep talking about how it's changing, but all these Pokemon have been around since the beginning. It's just some have fallen backwards and some have fallen come forward.
Correct.
It keeps switching. It's I don't want to confuse our listeners and make them think I don't know exactly what I'm talking about, but I do have some idea of what's going on. Let that be known. I do. Unfortunately,
I know, I guess.
It was what, 2 or 3 weeks ago? Didn't you win first place at our weekly?
I didn't win first place. I topped though. Like I won 3-1.
Yeah.
I went 3-1. So like it was like the record just below top cut. I mean, we were only playing 4 rounds, so
no, I think you got first or second actually.
I didn't get first. I know I didn't get first, or I would have been like, I would have rubbed that in somebody's second. Face as a joke. I know I got into the top, which is all that matters.
Exactly.
And I mean, yeah, no, I know what's going on. I can play the game. It helps to know like Pokemon in general, right?
Exactly.
Even because as a quick PSA for any like people who specifically like play OU or something. Like I specifically play OU. I'm not gonna shoot that down. I love OU. I love playing singles. The knowledge that you get from that does apply, regardless of who you think. I mean, it is a different format, and you do have to get used to it. And I mean, I guess I did because I went real deep into 2016 VGC last year. And so I do understand like the ideas of playing in doubles and what's better in doubles than other things. But if you have knowledge of Pokemon and how good they are, you should be fine. Like,
yep.
I know what a lot of the calcs are on Bulu and Gyarados and stuff like that. I know they're running weird EV spreads and stuff like that, but you can definitely get around a lot of that just by knowing like, oh, I know that this is absolutely going to get crushed by this. 100%. Yes. And you know, you just have to make those smart plays. Yeah, and the basic, and I mean, I do want to say that like, in if you have been following VGC this year, you should be able to know what's going on, just because all of the Pokemon do the same things they did back at the beginning of the year, but they keep going in the spotlight and then coming out and then going back in the spotlight. And that's been one of the worst parts of the whole thing. Just because you can't predict what's going on.
Yeah, no, a lot of it is, example, Arcanine, beginning of the format, had this crazy phase of being physical or special, totally supportive, whatever, like it can fit a lot of roles and do a lot of things, and nobody knew what role that it best filled. And mm-hmm. then now you're seeing lately, like I said, it's settled, and it's E-Speed, Flare Blitz, Protect, fourth move for Tech.
Yeah.
You know, some people run Thief with no item. Like, that's actually a thing. Like, that's actually used in Showdown a lot, actually, for the Showdown community. So you're gonna see a lot of like a lot of the same Pokemon, but different spreads and different tech moves, so to speak. You know, like Garchomp, you always saw ground DMZ in the beginning, and you didn't really see too much Scarf. Now, you know, Paul Trua's team is being seen a lot lately, and it involves Scarf Chomp. And, you know, that's Garchomp is Garchomp, but a Garchomp with a Scarf is different than a Garchomp with an Assault Vest or even a ground DMZ.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's really interesting. I mean, I have to say, but if you do want to play like VGC, I say just jump into it. It's definitely a different beast. It is a different beast in singles. It's a lot of fun. I have to say that. Like, I think I had more fun playing VGC than I don't want to say more fun. I have the same amount of fun. It's just a different kind of fun playing VGC. just because
come
there's
to the dark side then.
Yeah, I mean, there's not. I mean, I love playing OU. It's more that I don't want to say it's simple, but it's just because I've been doing it so long, I have a better grasp of it and a lot of the techniques. I'm gonna put techniques in quotes, like the plays that you would typically made are very they're very easy to do, and I don't know. I have them down. It's just one of those things. Like in the back of my head, I'm like, okay, this happened. This is what's in the back. Okay, this is the play. Go. And
it's kind of linear in a way. But
yeah, it's more. That's a really good way to put it. It's definitely more linear than playing VGC, and it's still fun. I really enjoy it, but VGC is different. It's not so linear. It's much more okay. I could switch this out and then do this at the same time and then do this. You're doing it's like multitasking Pokemon.
Correct. Yep. And that's all.
So it's
just more parts, more things to do.
Yeah, I got really into VGC 2016. So like I have some grasp, but this one definitely like flipped it on its head just a little bit, because like I was really getting into VGC as it was speeding up, and then I was just like, let's just slam on the brakes. And
which is a good thing. It was a very very good. Very
I think it's a very good thing. There's a lot of things. It made everything honestly a little bit more OU, and like Celesteela was big in both formats, and so. And for literally the same reason, and that's good. That's fine.
Yeah, I will say this format has been the closest to OU as VGC has been concerned, for the reason of it's more about the setup, while singles was always usually about the setup versus just concentrating on speed control, because, like I said, the Mons in this gen all have good, you know, attack and special attack, but they're all just shy of getting those key KOs. You know, like Nihiligo's just shy of knocking out Garchomps. Certain Pheromosa spreads, I think, without a Life Orb, I'm not 100% sure, but I think Porygon 2 survives a High Jump Kick with like very little.
It does. P. It does. Yeah. No. The EV spreads are the benchmarks. I think are. I think OU is a really good place to learn benchmarks.
Yeah.
And then this is a much better place to apply them. because, I mean, first of all, like we said, like we've been talking about, the pool is much smaller. So you can benchmark way easier. One of the things that I think is actually really cool for benchmarking that is really good for helping like learn that concept of benchmarking is actually the draft league that we're doing. We're doing that draft league that's starting, I think, in like 2 weeks. The draft is happening at least. And when you do that draft league, you're doing like a counter team meta essentially. And so you have to build around this 10 mon meta, you know, that exists in front of you with your 10 mons. And so you do a lot of benchmarks. Like I was trying to explain, because we did a beta with it, and I was explaining this to one of the competitors, Gio. I'm like, he just like would grab a spread from Smogon and put it there. I'm like, why are you running 96 speed IVs here? And he's like, well, that's what Smogon said. I go, yeah, but what does that outspeed on like their team? You know,
right.
Like you have 10 Pokemon. Does it outspeed any of them particularly? If not, it's just a waste. You can put that somewhere else.
Correct.
Maybe survive something. And so that's a big thing that I think a lot of people need to learn just in general if you're trying to get into like competitive Pokemon. And that's just something to think about. That it's that point. Like I've always said for years, and this is always going to be true. Like when you're building your own teams, which is definitely something that's almost a must in VGC to some extent. You can't really like steal teams from it. Though Trainer's Tower is really definitely becoming like the Smogon of VGC. And yes. So I do expect to see in the future like more teams come ripped straight from Trainer's Tower. But like team building is definitely a must right now. And well, one of the things I think is a huge thing. There are stages in becoming a good Pokemon player. And the first one is, yeah, go grab a sample team, grab somebody else's team, try it out, play with it, learn how to play the game, see what's good, see what your play style is, learn what you like. And then the next step is really, when you can start building your own sets. Like that, yeah. That's the moment that I think you've really, like, I don't want to say peaked, but this is the moment where you've really come into your own. I should say you make your own sets and you win.
It's funny because there's a lot of great players that have other people team build for them,
mm-hmm.
and they just learn the team, and they're that's super true. Good.
No, you can definitely do that. You can definitely do that. But like, again, you need like that. That's one of those things where I think I also said this. Like VGC is a lot like NASCAR.
Yeah.
In that you have like it's definitely a multiple person organization, regardless of who you are. Like,
oh, yeah.
Even if you're Wolf Glick, I mean, he team built with like two other people for Worlds last year.
Oh,
and so it's definitely, you have the crew that helps you build the team, gets everything ready with that. And then yep. You have the driver, like you have the person who's behind the team, driving the team. And Pokemon, unlike NASCAR, you don't need to be sitting in the pit waiting. You can go and play as well. So you take the same team and you run with it. So,
well, the thing is, all I was trying to make is that the two skills of team building and using and playing the team,
mm-hmm.
I feel, are different.
They are different. They are different.
They complement each other.
Yeah, no, I can agree with you there.
You don't necessarily have to be the world's best team builder, but you could be a really good player, and sometimes you just need a little help.
You just need a friend. I really do suggest like getting a team building like team together, if you do plan to go to these events. Which we should definitely talk about. I should start heading out to Premier Challenges now that 2018 points are going live. So
yeah, we actually at Puckle in the Discord server, the VGC server, there's a lot of really good players from the New York area, Virginia, Ohio, Texas. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of players, good players from Texas, and we all. It's a melting pot where you want to try to team build. You know, ask everybody's there to help, and we're trying to get everybody, you know, going to the events and stuff like that. And it's just really, really good. So if you want to start VGC, go to Puckle the VGC
Discord.
Channel.
Yeah,
the Discord. There you go. Yeah.
All right. So last thing, let's finish this team after that like long rant about how to play Pokemon. We have Snorlax as the final member of that team. Standard Snorlax.
Yes.
Well, without the facade.
So facade, like I was saying before,
I think it's
was
a gimmick. I think
standard.
It's a gimmick. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's not a gimmick. Not at all.
No. Would you suggest changing it to facade or no?
Yeah, actually, return or facade are both very viable. Before Nationals, facade was not popular. Set is a standard set before Nationals. After Nationals, obviously, Facade won because that's how you countered Snorlax. You burned it or you toxized it, and then you just left it to die.
Mm-hmm.
But the word of caution, if you're going to use Facade, don't – without the status, your damage output is going to be less. So just keep that in mind. But if you're using Snorlax as strictly just a Trick Room counter, honestly, it's completely fine to run it with Facade, Facade Curse, because it's just there to counter Trick Room, and Facade's enough damage in most situations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I think it's gonna be Curse Recycle, Curse Recycle Gluttony for the Apapa Berry, which. I just realized there's just so many of these berries. I'm never going to remember their names. But
like I said, the berries are going to really just secretly define everything.
Mm-hmm. You've seen a lot of these berries pop up, and it's really interesting this year.
Yeah, I mean, it honestly, if you put it in terms of this way, there is an item out there that most of the time will give you an extra 50% HP. Mm-hmm. Would you use?
Absolutely.
There you go.
Yep. Exactly. You go. Absolutely.
Especially
all right.
Especially with, like, you know, like the Metagross, you can survive Flare Blitz from almost any Arcanine, and you'll survive with a Sliver. Well, you go up to 50%, so you basically survive a Flare Blitz with 50% health.
Yeah. All right, so yeah, well, that's the team then. and after that long rant about how to play Pokemon, I'm sure they've had enough of us. But yeah, I'm interested to hear if anybody... So first of all, if anybody wants to send us teams, they're more than welcome to do so. You can send those to us at pucklepodcast@gmail.com. If you want to... if you're going to Worlds or anything, you can let us know. Pucklepodcast@gmail.com. Yeah, or the Open. Are you going to that, by the way? I assume you are.
Yes, I am.
Awesome. Okay, well, you can email us at pucklepodcast@gmail.com. Except you'll probably be on the show after it, so it doesn't even matter. And then if you want to check us out on any of our socials, Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, Reddit, we're Puckle Podcast or r/Puckle on Reddit. You can find those all, of course, at PucklePodcast.com. All the links to those are there. You can join us at the Discord server, which we've been unabashedly hyping up the entire show, which is yes. The link is going to be in the description. This team, I will remember to put in the description this time.
will you?
I will, because this show goes up and it goes up tomorrow, so it will.
And if he doesn't, you can always PM me on Discord.
Yes, absolutely. I will remember. I promise. I will. And if you want any of those other links, you can definitely do that. Just feel free to send us teams, guys. Feel free to get involved in any way you want to. So I look forward to that. Hit us up on iTunes if you like this part of the show. I really enjoy hearing from your feedback. And of course, if you got a little extra change tinkling in your pockets, and it won't make you starve or anything, we would appreciate it if you go to our Patreon at patreon.com/thepucklepodcast, or not the puckle, patreon.com/pucklepodcast. Link is of course in the show notes as well. And I always say it like I'm in a YouTube comment. Or content, and I'm like, link in the description below, guys. Just go down there.
Yes.
But you're on your phones listening to me streaming in your car. Please do not do this while you're driving. And so that is it, I believe, for this week's Battlecast. I think Sublime dropped out.
Of the I call. Got back.
Oh, he's alive.
I got
okay,
back just in time. Sorry. Like, I heard like the first two Pokemon of the team, and then just barely got back for Snorlax.
Oh man. Sounds right. All right. Technical difficulties abound. But yeah, thanks for all of you for coming. And thank you for listening, guys. So I as always, I'm your host, Trainer Thatch.
I'm Shamu.
I'm Sublime.
And I'm Ryusei.
And here in, I think we're in the Alola region in the Battle Royale Dome. It's the Puckle Battlecast, and it's 12 time.